Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, today's show, Real Science Friday, Irene and Virginia.
Irene and Virginia. Those are two ladies' names. Okay, let me see here. Irene. There's an Irene in the news right now.
Hurricanes and earthquakes.
Earthquakes. Yeah, yeah, Virginia.
So can we talk about hurricanes and earthquakes? We'll make today's program a news-driven episode of Real Science Friday.
Hey, that sounds great.
To begin with, Fred, did you notice the headlines about this earthquake, this Virginia earthquake, and something so different from other earthquakes that make the news in the U.S.?
Well, yeah. It's apparently people are feeling this earthquake as far as like Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, a long way from the epicenter. That's a long ways. I mean, if that was the case from the West Coast, we'd feel those things in Denver, and we don't.
Right. So the headlines, media outlets are saying, what's going on? Why is an average-sized earthquake, a medium-powered energy release earthquake, why is it felt so far away? And on this episode of Real Science Friday, I think we could help to explain to people why that is. It's so fun to be able to look at the world and understand it. And then also, if we could talk about hurricanes, some things that hurricanes might help us understand, especially when we are biblical creationists, we understand the world better.
Well, I have a new appreciation for hurricanes, having gone through one right in the eye of a hurricane, and that was Hurricane Charley. Back about 7 years ago, we were going to Disney World for one day, and then we're going to go on like a three-day cruise. We were right in the middle of Charley, came right over Orlando. It was like the first hurricane to go over the city of Orlando in like 90 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was remarkable, the devastation afterwards. You know, the trees are just blowing like crazy, like the worst storm you can imagine here. And then as soon as the wall of the eye hits, all the trees like go in one direction. And a real loud, you know, just the real loud wind noise. It was amazing. I have a whole new appreciation for hurricanes.
Yeah, I was in Florida for Hurricane Rita to present Focus on the Strategy.
Oh, okay.
Pro-life strategy down at D. James Kennedy's ministry. And that was an experience also. Well, okay, so hurricanes, we'll talk about those in a bit. And about Hurricane Irene. But this Virginia earthquake, its epicenter was near the town of Mineral, Virginia, and it was about 3 miles deep. Now, Fred, why do we call it the Richter scale? Because this was 5.8 magnitude on the Richter scale. Why do we call it the Richter scale?
Maybe because of Mr. Richter?
Mr. Richter. Well, I think you nailed that one. Yeah, because Charles Richter. He was inspired by astronomers back in the 1930s. They were talking about the magnitude of stars, the apparent magnitude, how bright they are, and eventually they talked about the absolute magnitude of stars.
Yeah, and isn't this like a logarithmic scale?
Yeah, so how does that work? Is a magnitude 4 and a magnitude 5, the 5 is a little bit stronger than a 4?
Well, if that was a direct relationship, yeah, it'd be 25%. But this is a logarithmic scale. It's like 10 times more powerful than a 4.
So it's not a linear scale. It's logarithmic.
It just gives you an idea of how powerful some of these quakes in California are. They get into the 6 to even 9 range, right, or higher.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of the West Coasters are making fun of the East Coasters for the way they reacted to the earthquake.
Right.
Like I saw one picture of a turned over lawn chair, and the headline was something like massive cleanup for earthquake.
Right, right. And the most powerful earthquake in modern history on record was down in South America. You remember about that one?
That was way up in the 9s, right? Like 9.5?
9.5 in Chile. These earthquakes we have today, compared to, Fred, what happened during the global flood, these earthquakes wouldn't even register. If you had a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 was the upheaval in the crust during the global flood, the one in Chile, it would hardly register. The enormous impact on the crust of the earth after the global flood. And we'll talk about that a bit as we discuss this earthquake. Now, the headlines were East Coast quakes, shockwaves, felt farther. That was in Newsday. And this science website, scienceray.com, they're saying, why was the Virginia quake felt so far away? And they say on the East Coast, earthquakes are felt as much as 10 times further away from the epicenter as they would for a similar earthquake, say, in California.
Yeah, the scientists are saying that on the West Coast, the rocks above the mantle are all crushed,
yeah.
Whereas the rocks above the mantle on the East Coast...
There's way more consistency to the granite.
Exactly.
And Fred, I grew up in New Jersey, and we'd go in the mountains, and the mountains there are hills. You see a lot of granite, and it goes on and on. So shockwaves travel faster and farther, way farther. Like from this Virginia earthquake, the waves reached New York City in one minute. So what's going on in California? Well, yeah, scientists say that the rocks in California, they're all broken up. It's more like rubble as compared to the East Coast.
And that kind of makes sense, right?
It makes sense from a biblical creationist perspective, mm-hmm. which I just love reading Walt Brown, his book In the Beginning. In fact, I got to interview him. We have a CD called Walt Brown Week that we offer with the book. It's really fun. And Fred, here's Walt Brown's theory. And perhaps you'll recall an article about scientists studying the floor of the Atlantic and what they found or didn't find. But let me describe Walt's theory first. When the global flood began, it started with the fountains of the great deep breaking forth. That's what the Bible says. The rain is secondary.
Yeah, so the water, everybody thinks the water is from all the rain, right?
Yeah, the water is not from the rain.
Yeah.
The water is from a subterranean chamber. And according to Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, which there is tremendous evidence for, biblical and geological, there, 10 miles beneath the crust of the earth, there was a sphere of water going around the whole world. So the crust sat on a sphere of water and some rock, but mostly on water. And when the global flood occurred, the crust began to crack. And that water came up with enormous force. And the crack worked its way around the entire earth. Today, there's the remnant of that crack. Do you know what that crack is called today?
The Mid-Atlantic Ridge?
The Mid-Atlantic Ridge is a part of it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is called the Mid-Oceanic Ridge.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's the longest mountain range in the world. Fred, it's longer than the world. It goes around the world like a seam on a baseball. It's over 40,000 miles long.
It would be one of the wonders of the world if we could actually go and visit it as tourists. I mean, yeah. It is amazing.
Right. And so, but it's under the ocean. And in the Atlantic, the water escaping from under the earth with such force eroded a massive quantity of rock from what is today the Atlantic. And as that eroded, and it was literally torn off that part of the crust as the waters came up, that made that part of the crust lighter. And so the mantle, which is under tremendous pressure, the mantle began to push upward at the Atlantic. And so what we see today as the floor of the Atlantic Ocean, for the most part, that's the floor of what was the subterranean chamber. So the Atlantic and the Pacific, they're so totally different. The Atlantic floor rose up almost 10 miles.
10 miles.
10 okay. miles. And as it did, you could imagine that the crust of the earth begins to tilt, where North and South America are tilting to the west, and Africa and Europe are tilting toward the east. And there was water beneath them, a mile thick of water. And so North and South America, the way the mountains formed, not over millions of years, but rapidly, and there's so much evidence for that, North America literally slid to the west, and it slid not over millions of years, but over minutes. And when it slid, it came to a grinding halt, which caused the north-south mountain ranges to form rapidly.
Wow. You know, I did a 14er last year, and I was as exhausted as I've ever been. I'm way out of shape.
Yeah.
If I could only have been on the
14,000-foot mountain.
14,000-foot mountain. If I could have only been on the base of this mountain when all that happened, I could be at the top in a matter of minutes.
That's right. So we have the mountain ranges forming rapidly, and the as North America literally slid to the west, lubricated by the hydroplates, they're on water, and the water is escaping. Well, when they ground to a halt, the west coast was put under tremendous pressure as compared to the east coast. And so that's why the rocks are all crumbled on the west coast.
Yeah, it fits the theory, doesn't it? It really does. It
fits beautifully, and that's why the mountain ranges are north-south. And this goes all the way through down to South America. So, Fred, I haven't looked it up. I'm sure you could look it up. It might be difficult. But I imagine earthquake propagation is the same in South America, that they propagate way further on the east coast of South America, like Rio de Janeiro, than on the west coast, like by Chile and Argentina. And if you go across the Atlantic to, say, Africa, you'd find the inverse happening, where the earthquakes on the west coast will propagate further, and toward eastern Africa, then they would not propagate as far.
Yeah, kind of another Real Science Friday prediction, huh? Because we haven't really looked that part up.
I haven't looked it up, and I don't know how hard it would be or how easy it would be to look that up.
Yeah.
And so, Fred, this stuff is so interesting. And a while back, scientists were studying the Atlantic Ocean's floor, and they made quite a discovery. Do you recall that?
Well, aren't they missing a big chunk of the crust?
A big chunk. In Science Daily, which that's a leading website,
yeah.
ScienceDaily.com, it's an evolutionary old Earth Big Bang website. March 2nd, 2007, a team of scientists, there were a dozen British scientists, other scientists, on the maiden voyage of a brand new vessel for research, and they're in the Atlantic, they're at the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, and they discover something was missing. And you said it, it's a huge chunk of the Earth's crust is missing in the Mid-Atlantic.
So how do you explain that? How did they explain it?
Well, here's what they write. Science Daily writes that scientists made a startling discovery in the depths of the Atlantic. It's startling to them. Now, they quote these marine geologists and marine geophysicist Professor Roger Seal from Durham University. They quote these guys, this discovery is like an open wound on the surface of the Earth. And why is the crust missing? So it's startling to them, but it's not startling to Walt Brown. Dr. Walt Brown, who got his degree in mechanical engineering from MIT, it's not startling to me, because when the Atlantic rose, what's happening is 10 miles of crust were eroded away. And so they're finding other sections of the Atlantic where they're saying the crust is missing. And that's such a beautiful, it's not a mystery. It's not startling. It confirms.
Exactly. It does.
It helps to confirm.
But it is startling if you use the secular plate tectonic theory, right?
Right.
Can it make sense in that theory? I don't think so. I mean, it fits perfectly with Walt Brown's theory.
It does. It corroborates his theory. It's consistent. It's complementary.
That's like three C's.
Three C's. Any word that starts with a C-O, it is that to Walt's theory. It confirms. It's complementary. It corroborates. It's consistent.
That's four. All right.
It's corrugated. Wait, that doesn't work. It's not corrugated. But it's so affirming of Walt's idea. So scientists in the Science Daily article, scientists have discovered a large area, thousands of square kilometers in extent, in the middle of the Atlantic where the Earth's crust appears to be missing. Now, follow up. I read about this on a geology blog, and it might be hundreds of square kilometers, not thousands, but now apparently they're finding other areas where the Earth's crust is missing in the Atlantic. And Fred, there are 40,000 volcanoes in the Pacific, but not in the Atlantic. And the trenches are all centered in the Pacific, not in the Atlantic. And the center of the trench region is exactly opposite on the globe, the center of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And so what Walt says happened is that as the fountains of the Great Deep broke forth, the Atlantic began to, first it eroded away, the crust, and then the basement of that subterranean chamber began to rise up. It was pushed up by the pressure of the mantle because it's under such pressure.
And then
pressure.
It had an inverse effect on the side
on
of the Pacific.
Pacific. The Pacific sucked in as the Atlantic rose up. And
almost
so,
a vacuum effect.
Yeah, right. Physics will do that. And so the trenches are the result of the pressures of that part of the globe. You take a ball and you suck in the ball and it'll form shapes like a cusp-shaped curves similar to what we find in the trenches in the Pacific. And so this is all making sense at a global scale. And also with the liquid core of the Earth, the heat, the friction that caused the heat inside the center of the Earth, there is so much now that we could understand. When we look at the world, we understand it. So when they say, wow, look at that, earthquakes on the east, the shockwaves propagate so much further than on the west, we get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we also had a earthquake in Colorado. How does that fit in?
Whoa, Colorado's not on a plate boundary, is it?
Not that I know of. It's not on a fault. And isn't the standard theory, the standard plate tectonics, that earthquakes should typically fall along a fault line?
Fault line. And there are so many earthquakes that happen off the fault lines. And that's an expectation of Walt Brown's theory. He's got a great chart in his book, In the Beginning. I strongly recommend people get that. You could get it from us, 800-8-NER, or go to our website, kgov.com. We also include with the book our CD, Walt Brown Week, where you can hear 5 shows with Walt Brown that we did right here on Real Science Friday. It's a lot of fun. So earthquakes occur so frequently not on plate boundaries. And Fred, there's another great piece of scientific information. The GPS markers that geologists have put all over the world, and now they're tracking the movement of every bit of land on Earth. There were these assumptions where everything would move based on plate tectonics. And it turns out the little arrows that you could look at on Wikipedia, the movement of the Earth, they're pointing in the direction that Walt Brown predicts, toward the Pacific, because the Pacific sucked in while the Atlantic rose up.
Now, how recent is that? That's really neat.
That's in the last couple years that this evidence is surfacing, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And so, Fred, just like we have more earthquakes in California, we have more earthquakes in Japan, because Japan is on the east coast of Eurasia. It's so fun to look at the whole globe and to see what's going on from a biblical perspective, which matches a scientific perspective.
Yeah, and it's really a common sense theory.
Mm. So now, how about Irene?
Irene. So now we're getting back to the hurricanes.
Yeah, we don't want to give her short shrift.
Yeah.
Right? So, Fred, I've always had a question. Why are there no hurricanes west of the international dateline? I don't get it. When you go into the Pacific, you cross the dateline. It's like magic. There are no hurricanes.
No hurricanes. So they just dissolve when they cross that line?
I guess.
Well, maybe they're called typhoons. They changed names.
Okay, so in the Western Pacific, they're typhoons.
They're typhoons. Why don't we have tornadoes in the ocean?
Why?
Because they're called waterspouts.
You know, I always wondered why we never got hit with a typhoon when I was a kid. And it was always typhoons would only strike when Godzilla was around. Like, where's the typhoons?
Yeah, and then it also made the people talk, and then their words show up 2 seconds later.
Oh, that's right. So, Fred, so a typhoon is a hurricane, only in a different part of the world. True?
Yes, true.
Okay. And hurricanes, there's something that scientists, both creation scientists and secular scientists, have done some thinking and writing about hypercanes. And before we talk about hurricanes, maybe a little bit about hypercanes, because there are things in the world that are hard to explain apart from a global flood and apart from hypercanes. Like in Alabama, southwestern Alabama, there's a massive sand deposit. It's called the Gosport Sand Member. And a hurricane could not move that much sand over that much of a distance and that far inland, it can't do it.
Yeah, it doesn't have enough force. But if maybe if a hurricane that had maybe 400 mile per hour winds, a very powerful hurricane.
Now that would be a hypercane, right? Hurricanes get their energy from warm water in the oceans, and hypercanes would require water that's almost scalding hot. Instead of 1 to 200 miles per hour, they might be 3 to 400 miles per hour, and they wouldn't last days, they'd last weeks.
And if you think about it, if this massive catastrophe is occurring during the global flood, and all these plates are in this, you know, the fountains of the Great Deep are breaking up, isn't that a lot of energy? Doesn't energy cause heat?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Tremendous amount of heat escaping from the subterranean chamber. And then literally with the continents moving and compressing after they slid North and South America to the west and Europe and Asia, Africa to the east, the amount of energy released as heat energy is enormous. So after the flood, there could have been hypercanes, which then explain some of the features of the Earth that are otherwise very hard to comprehend. And Fred, have you heard about, now this is new, I got a call from a geology student at the School of Mines, and I had not heard about this. He said that in his class, old Earth class, you know, Big Bang cosmology, all that, the Earth is 4.7 billion years old, they believe, they talked about the mega ripples that have been discovered from satellite imagery of the crust of the Earth. From Chicago, mega ripples in the crust of the Earth all the way through the Midwest, through the Rockies, to the Pacific, Fred. From almost 2,000 miles of mega ripples.
On the crust.
And on the crust of the Earth. And his geology professor is, they're wrestling with, how did these get here? And he's thinking, it's the global flood. It's the global flood. That's how they got there. But it's like they're not allowed to say that. They could talk about a global flood on Mars where there's no liquid water, but they can't talk about it on Earth where we have two-thirds of the globe covered a couple miles deep in water.
So who do we attribute this to, Irene or Virginia? So you kind of lost me here. Is that ripple effect possibly due to a hypercane or due to the hydroplate?
I think that is too big of a feature to be attributed to a local flood, a regional flood, a hypercane. That is a continent-wide feature, which is consistent with other features around the globe where it's evidence of a global flood.
Yeah, like the Columbian Plateau, miles thick, deep of sedimentary rock, mud, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the Colorado Plateau and
that's huge.
Over at the Himalayas, the Himalayan Plateau. Fred, if you read about plateaus, geologists are utterly mystified. How does hundreds of square miles of rock begin to raise up 1, 2, 3 miles up into the air? How does it happen?
How does that happen?
What would do that? And
how does it form over billions of years? How does that happen?
And so Walt Brown's theory is that as the Atlantic floor rose up and the Pacific sucked in, then the continents shifted to the west and the east, respectively. And when they came grinding to a halt, the continental mass thickened and raised up out of the water, raised up a few miles, so that America is about 3,000 miles across, and it raised up to where the Rockies, right after the flood, the Rockies would have even been a mile or two higher than they are now, and over the next years, they settled down. So these mountain regions were raised up rapidly, and as they settled down, that produced the plateaus that rose up quickly within months and years, not over millions of years. That's why they rose up.
And that makes plenty of sense.
It makes sense from
tons of sense.
Physics perspective.
Yeah.
So what Walt Brown is so good at is testing these ideas with physics, like plate tectonics. plate tectonics, they don't show the equations to demonstrate where is all the energy coming from to move continental plates.
Yeah, these are huge plates. How do they leap up and about and all around?
Yeah, it's like 20, 30 miles thick, and they're moving. So if you have current circulating under the crust of the Earth, they're not going to move these plates, even if they're circulating. And they're not going to move them against each other. And if a plate is 30 miles thick, it's not going to dive under another plate. That is, you cannot push rock with a 30-mile thick edge under another chunk of 30-mile thick rock. Rock can't do that.
It can't do that, no. So, Bob, you know, it just occurred to me on hurricanes. So, you know, you get a lot of Christians that say that hurricanes are God's wrath on us, you know, on people. Is that, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, the Red Cross did an ad years ago here in Denver, the local Red Cross, and they said, how do you follow an act of God by an act of man? Give to the Red Cross. And Fred, that was just so terrible because they're saying God is mean and our donors are good. So be a good person.
Yeah.
And I called up and talked to a local official. And you know what? I was surprised. They understood, and they said, you know what? We're going to pull that ad. And so that was back in the 1990s. But this God didn't create this world like this. He gave us perfect paradise.
He did. It was in Genesis 1:31. He said that basically the creation is perfect, right?
Perfect.
So I think it was, didn't we screw things up?
We did. Man rebelled against God and took the paradise that he gave us, and we caused it to break down because he gave us dominion over the earth.
That's right. And boy, that sinful nature makes us want to blame, you know, our problems on other people too. How often do we do that?
Yeah.
We do something wrong, we try to find blame. We try to find blame for God for these things, and we should look in the mirror. We're the reason these things are happening because of our sin.
Yeah. Remember Elijah, the prophet, was up on a mountain?
Oh, yeah.
He was whining, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm the only one left.
And God, why are you in tornadoes and hurricanes? Oh, wait, he didn't say that, did he?
Oh, no. In fact, it's a fascinating story from, 1 Kings chapter 19, and the Bible says that a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And Fred, a few verses later, God says to Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal, the false god.
So this Star Wars pantheistic idea that God is, you know, the force is, God is in the forest or the force is with you. God isn't in the hurricane.
No.
He's not in the earthquake.
Right. And it's superstition to interpret weather patterns as messages from God. That's superstition. And it gets you nowhere. And it's so easily disproved. But Christians are gullible. They like things that itch their ears, the Bible says.
Well, I think he does like to create monuments like the Leaning Tower of Pisa and like the Leaning Monument in Washington.
Yeah. Well, Fox News said that the Washington Monument was tilting after the
Is that
earthquake.
Actually true?
No, it is cracked a little bit. But.
Yeah, the story's cracked.
Yeah. So, Fred, thanks for talking about hurricanes and earthquakes. And really, everything points us to the Creator God and the truth of His Word.
That's right.
Real Science Friday, online at kgov.com. Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. You can get great science materials from us, DVDs, debates, books, all from our website, kgov.com, or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART. So here's a list of what you can get. DVDs from Illustra Media that we carry, The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and Darwin's Dilemma. And then there are the two fabulous DVDs from Dr. Carl Werner on Evolution, The Grand Experiment, Living Fossils. You'll want to see those. And then Spike Passaris, formerly with the U.S. Military Space Program, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And then there's the BEL debates, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott on DVD, and a book, Does God Exist? Bob Enyart Debates Atheist Zaketh, a Psychologist. We also have two DVDs on our seminar, Does God Exist? And then Mount St. Helens, The Explosive Evidence for Catastrophe. We also have our debate on the age of the earth, where I got to debate a mathematician from CU up in Boulder and a geophysicist on this MP3 CD. And finally, my favorite science book, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. Just call us at 800-8-NYARTS, 800-836-9278, or check out our online store in the science department, either at kgov.com or realsciencefriday.com.